The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
You did that. It belittles us. It's this kind of this self-judgment, this negativity that we so often have, and blaming ourselves. This can be a real tyrant. This voice, this inside of us that follows us around and is like commenting on so many things, kind of nagging at us, or having a sense of shame or blame, like all these painful things. And of course, there's also this sense of harshness. So it's not kindness, right? It's this harshness. And for me, this kind of inner critic has the sense of, I don't know what this is called exactly, but maybe it's like a whip that goes, like, get to work. You know, I kind of have this thing that's going on. So, right, they show up in so many different ways for all of us. Maybe I shouldn't say that. It's not everybody. Not everybody has this. But it's common enough to have this inner voice that has this, built from this feeling of inadequacy. Like somehow we haven't done enough. We just aren't enough in some kind of way. This feeling like there should be more. And wow, there's so much pain, can be so much dukkha can be tied up with this inner critic. And it might even be common enough that for some people it's like even difficult to imagine that it's not there, that we don't have this voice inside of us that's telling us to be otherwise. And some people feel like it's just them, like they are the only one who has this inner critic. And I will say that in part of my training to be a Dharma teacher, I think all Dharma teachers do this, is that you sit in on practice discussions with a more senior teacher to see how the senior teacher is with the students. And the first few times I did this, I was really quite touched by how common this theme is. It shows up in myriad of ways, but people bring in like this feeling of things aren't quite right. I'm not quite right. There's something wrong with me. I'm inadequate in some kind of way. It's heartbreaking to see how many people have this in so many different ways. And if we think about it, you know, maybe it's understandable that this inner critic is alive and well in so many of us. We learn it from family, we learn it from school, we learn it from society. We have these entire industries that are dedicated to making us feel like we are inadequate, therefore we should buy more, or therefore we should watch this screen longer, or you know, whatever it is, right? There's so much momentum behind this idea. So one way that this inner critic often works is that it takes a single incident, one thing, one experience that has happened for us, and has, out of like countless numbers of experiences that we've had in that day, let's say, or even in that sit or in that hour, so many things happen, and we choose a single one and put all of our focus on this, and then we make meaning out of it. Because my mind was wandering a lot, it means I'm a terrible meditator. But maybe, you know, it's not only just because you're a terrible meditator. Right? Maybe it's because your life is busy and you have some anxiety or anxiousness, something that's really gnawing at you and big problems that need to be solved. And or maybe before you came and sat down, you were on the phone arguing about something or whatever it might be. We bring so many things with us when we go to the cushion. And is it possible that we can just like this drop them? Yes, probably some meditation masters can do that. Meditation masters most likely are not living a lay life, are not doing the myriad of things that we're doing, taking care of ourselves, our family, our jobs. So there's so many things that come together for each experience that we're having. And it's we are taking responsibility, thinking like, well, it means something about me. I'm not good enough in some kind of way, or I should have taken care of that problem before so that I could meditate, or I should be able to say no to these other things, or whatever it might be. So these two things coming together, one, our choosing one experience out of countless experiences and focusing on that, and two, having an exaggerated sense of self that can control things. We can't control things as much as we'd like. Have you noticed? Right, of course. So this inner critic kind of like rears up when we follow this human tendency to focus on what is negative. Of course, that's not uncommon. We have descended from individuals who focused on the negative, not getting eaten by saber-toothed tigers or whatever it might be. So humans, we tend to focus on what's negative, but that's not the only thing that is happening. There's perfectly neutral things that are happening too. Feeling the pressure of the chair or the cushion against the body. Feeling what the hands are touching. Maybe there was some delight earlier today with the rain. So what are some ways we can work with this inner critic? Right, the critic likes to be critical, and then the last thing we want to do is be critical of the critic. Right, then just perpetuate this aversion or something. So there's a few things we can do. There's a lot of things we can do. I'll just say a few things here. We all know that the first noble truth, or maybe we don't all know this, but many of us know kind of this key Buddhist teaching, the first noble truth, there is suffering. There is difficulty. Yep, this is how life is. It includes this, not exclusively this, but it includes difficulties. And is there a way that we can acknowledge and kind of bow and respect that, yes, this is difficult when difficulties arise? They will arise. They are arising. It's not a mistake. It's the way things are. We don't have to personalize it. Lots of things are coming together. But when there's an inner critic that's up and running, when there's this difficulty, it really just rushes in and wants to say, you've done something wrong. And you haven't been able to fix it. So clearly there's something deficient in you. It's not okay. This shouldn't be happening. It's perfectly natural to have these responses, but there's often this way in which it comes with some blaming. So when we recognize there's some of these difficulties, there's this suffering, dukkha. instead of blaming ourselves, or I don't want to set this up in a way what we should do, but is there a way that we can also ask, what is underlying this suffering? Instead of asking, what am I doing wrong? Can we ask, what's underlying this? What's supporting this? And instead of asking, you know, am I doing this right? Clearly I'm not doing this right. Maybe we could ask, how am I? How am I doing in this moment? Kind of like checking in with our experience and kind of leaving the momentum, disrupting the momentum of this kind of blaming and this feeling like we should have everything down pat and shouldn't be experiencing any difficulties. But to ask, how am I? And then this brings in two things. One brings in some mindfulness again, kind of like tuning into our experience. But it also brings some kindness. How am I? Without insisting that we be a particular way, but brings in some kindness. And then the second thing that we might do is to just bring in this intention, this inclination of the mind, without insisting, without demanding, this idea of, may I hold this difficulty with kindness and ease. Dropping in a little bit of kindness can be such a powerful way to kind of like shift our relationship to the difficulty and maybe kind of like quiet or soften this inner critic that wants to beat ourselves up. But instead, maybe this to be patiently sowing the seeds of kindness towards ourselves. And sometimes that feels silly, like meeting this moment with some kindness, surely that's not going to make a difference. There's this huge problem, this big, giant difficulty that has to be taken care of. But it turns out that patiently sowing the seeds of kindness is transformative. And it might be just exactly what's needed. Might be exactly what we don't want to do, too. It can be transformative. And so in whatever way it feels comfortable, feels with some resonance for you, I offered this phrase, may this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. There's nothing particularly magical about that phrase. There might be something else that is supportive for you, but beware that inner critic sometimes likes to sneak in there and says, you're supposed to meet this with kindness, you know. So that's why I kind of like may this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. Kind of like takes the self out of it. And so this way of meeting our difficulties, it's a way in which we can quiet the inner critic so that our life and our day might unfold differently. So thank you.